Good morning, everybody. I know we got folks out in the foyer. I'm going to invite you into. I don't even normally do that, so you know this has got to be big time right now. I personally want to welcome each and every one of you. Normally, I come up at the beginning or someone comes up, and we particularly welcome those of you who are guests or who are visiting for the first time, and we fill you in with a little bit of what's going on this morning and just let you know that we do recognize it takes courage to come to a new fellowship and to worship. And we mean all that even today, and perhaps even more so today. It takes courage to come to fellowship and to worship. But that said, this is new for all of us today. There are so many new things that are happening in light of our current cultural and global reality with COVID. And so I want to just start the morning by filling you in with a little bit of kind of what's up, what's happening today, where we're going to be heading this week, and then moving forward as a fellowship. And so in the midst of COVID, and the changes here, I went ahead and moved all the chairs on you. So some of you are real like freaking out. This is like double crisis, hey? Where am I going to sit? Oh, no. Brother Wayne, you all right, man? I mean, the middle of the aisle feels a little off, hey? You never know. Like, you might get a glimpse of heaven in a new way today, unlike ever before, right? No, I don't want to take our reality lightly, but I do want to be authentic and real at the same time. And so first, I want to establish this. I want you to know that at Fort Alliance, we are going to honor our governing authorities. And as different decisions are made at the governing government level, we're going to consider that and take that wholeheartedly and apply what they're asking us to apply. And so we're here this morning because this fits well within the mandate of what the government has asked of us. And so we are here to worship, and we want to do just that, because regardless of the season we are in, we serve a holy God. And although we live in the reality and in a world where the fall and the effects of sin are very real, and COVID's an example of that, God is still faithful and good and worthy of our worship. And so we want to do that. He provides a hope unlike any other, and we want to ensure that there's opportunity to process that together. So we will worship today, and that's why we're worshiping today. That said, as you've noticed, some things are a little bit different this morning. Our greeters have greeted very differently, and we didn't change that up, obviously, because we don't like you. We changed that up because we love you, and we just want to be ensure we're doing whatever we can to have sound thinking and wise thought go into the decisions we are making. So they're not shaking your hands, but they're still striving to smile, look you in the eye, and let you know we love you as much as we can in the midst of the social distancing move that we are obviously in. You'll notice your bulletins are already on your seat as you came in, so our ushers haven't handed those out. Those have been placed there by one of our staff with hands that have been washed. We want you to still get the information, but we've tried to do that in a way that's honoring you as well. At the same time, you're going to also find some of the things in the service media. We're not going to take an offering like we normally take. We're going to look to just minimize that passing of a basket and what have you. And so if you do want to give today and in any day, really, there's four ways you can do that. There are those two boxes at the back by the entrance. You could place an offering in there. There is the debit machine if you're comfortable. There's the Lysol wipes and what have you there beside that. There's also online via our website that you can use. And if you ever want to set up automatic withdrawal with Pam, our financial administrator, you're more than welcome to do that. In our means to giving at any level, there's these envelopes or online, there's a place you can mark. And there's two categories I specifically want to speak to right now, because one of them applies. The general fund is our general day-to-day operations, ministry, that sort of stuff. But there's another category on here named benevolent fund. And benevolent fund is the funds that we use to care for people when they can't care for themselves, or when we look to meet needs of people when they can't meet their own needs. And so we're going to find ourselves right now in a season where that's going to happen, and we have funds in our benevolent fund, and we're going to use them. And we're already talking as a staff, how can we use these funds to help people? And we're going to continue over the course of the next day or two here to make some decisions on what can we do to use these funds to help people who are in need. And so that's one of the ways you can help folks if you're wanting to do that. And then finally today, you'll hopefully have received the emails and or the seen it on social media. But our kids ministry, we're screening thoroughly that for kids. We just ask that if your kids have been all ill, hopefully you aren't here at all. But if for some reason you still came, our volunteers aren't going to be letting kids who are ill in. And we just wanted to make sure that was clear. So they're just doing what I've told them to do. They're not trying to be rude or anything like that. That's us trying to do what we can. In this season we find ourselves in. We didn't post this online, but just as a means to communicate at this level, we emailed all of our volunteers, and we specifically asked those who had traveled in the last 14 days, we just gave them this temporary release for ministry. We said, let us know. We will ensure someone's going to fill in for you. So we wanted to do what we could in that way as well. So for this Sunday, we've done everything that we feel we can humanly do with sound mind and wise thinking while honoring our government to also come to the place where we can honor God and worship him because he is worthy. So that's what's happening today. Let me talk about next Sunday. We all know things are changing day by day, moment by moment, aren't they? And so the reality is I don't know what's happening next Sunday today. It's just the reality. I don't know. You'll hear me speak to a sermon called Be Generous and Giving Grace. I've never led in the midst of a pandemic before. This is new territory. I'm going to need a little bit of grace as we make decisions. And any of you who are leading in any type of organization understand that, right? Whether it's social services or whether it's education or workplaces, business, what have you. Like, we don't know what we're doing day by day. We're having to consider all types of things. And so we will do our best to Friday have a decision figured out. We will communicate that via our emails that come out. If you want to be on our email list, you just sign up on our website. We'll also communicate that via social media. Those decisions, again, we're going to make those in light of honoring our governing authorities. As we process that, I've had a number of people ask me about live streaming. Can we start live streaming? Which is a great idea. I wish we could. Here's our current reality, though. We are in an old part of the fort, and our upload bandwidth just won't allow us to live stream. It's just our reality. You might be thinking, well, can we just upgrade our package? We can't. We're at the max, and we just don't have the capacity with the internet that's available to us in this area. In fact, we've recently looked into it, and the only other option to get to that place would be a $20,000 line that we would have to pay with Shaw. So obviously, even if we went that route, we wouldn't have that in the midst of the season anyway. So it doesn't help us. Nonetheless, if something happens in this week where we got to make some hard decisions, we will get creative. Do I know how we're going to get creative? No. But I promise you, your staff will get creative. We will figure it out, and we will do our best to honor our governing authorities, honor you, and most importantly, honor God in the midst of the season we're in, okay? So I don't have the answers for next Sunday yet, but I promise you we'll figure it out and we'll get creative as we need to do that. And then finally, the thing I wanted to speak to, this is really, really important for us. I just mean for us as Fort Alliance and really the as us particularly as the church. Our reality is this. There are those in our fellowship and in our community who have had to self-quarantine. There's those in our fellowship, our community, who are immune deficient right now, those who are elderly, and those who are just scared. And the reality is this, love will always honor and care for those people, particularly the love of God. And I'll give some examples later on as we speak. And so I want to remind us of this, that the light will always shine the brightest in the darkness. And so whatever that means for us in the midst of the season, we have to be willing to process what does it mean to honor and care for those who perhaps can't take care of themselves or who are in a place of being scared or nervous. We need to be thinking, how can we care for those? Now, we are already talking about as a staff, how are we going to do this? And we're going to make some decisions today as well. And one of the things we're going to have to utilize is that benevolent fund. But we want to be strategically thinking and processing. what does it look like to be the light? Because the light will always shine bright in the darkness. And as the church of Jesus, like, we need to be shining regardless of if we are in a season of crisis or if we're not in a season of crisis. And so in the next few days, you'll probably be hearing more information come out from us in regards to potential ways that we can care for people who have had to self-quarantine, people who are immune deficient, people who are elderly or who are nervous. We want to care for and love like Jesus would love with those people. And so that's where we're at for today, next week, and in this short future. Again, this is new for me, for our staff, for our elders, and I think the thing that I would just really want to communicate is we promise we're doing our best, and we're going to continue to do our best, and in the midst of it, this though I know, that God is faithful, and that he is good, and that he is great, and that we have gathered here today, and he's worthy of our worship. And I feel it is so important for us to begin by praying for those who are affected and most affected right now. And I want to give us all a chance to do that. And so to do that, just prior to worshiping, I'm going to ask you to stand. And in Jesus' day, my son was here at the first service. in Jesus' day, more than likely, Jesus would have sang and Jesus would have prayed with his hands raised like this. In fact, throughout the early church, you can find pictures and paintings of people that have been carved and put, like, where their hands are raised as they pray and they worship. And so that was the culture of Jesus' day. Our culture is a little different. Some of you might not be comfortable doing this, but in our culture, when authority says, freeze, put your hands up, it's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of submission. And so I'm just going to ask us, I know this isn't for all of us, but for today in this moment as we pray, I'm going to ask us all to just put our hands up as a sign of surrender and a sign of submission to Jesus. And when we worship, if this isn't your thing, that's fine. This is between you and God as we worship. But for as we pray, I'm going to give you a couple minutes. Go to Jesus on behalf of our community, on behalf of our frontline workers, our nurses, our people working behind the scenes in the science realm, in the government, and just plead for Jesus's grace and mercy in the season. And in a minute or so, I'll pray on behalf of all of us. So let's pray. Father, you are the Holy One. You alone are worthy of our worship, and we come before you right now because of the blood of Jesus. Holy Spirit, lead and guide us in this moment. May we just pray and find ourselves aligned with you as you're interceding on our behalf, as Romans 8 says. And God, I do start by confessing that we, within our country, within our community, and even with our church, have felt like we are in control. Have acted like we are in control. And God, we're sorry. And today we find ourselves reminded that only you are in control. So forgive us for the moments when we have tried to play God. And Lord, we come before you just praying and pleading for mercy and for grace in this season where globally, nationally, provincially, and even our own community, we process the effects and strive to move forward in the midst of COVID-19. I pray, God, for those who are personally affected first. Oh, Lord, may you grant peace. May you grant courage. May you grant rest and wholeness in them. For those, Lord God, who are at the front lines, from those in the hospitals, the walk-in clinics, those who are in service industries, like the police, fire, those who are first responders, God, we ask for you to just guard and protect, give much wisdom and discernment. Over those, Lord God, who are behind the scenes and yet leading and making decisions for their governments, for scientists, we pray for divine knowledge, that you would lead and guide. Holy Spirit, we recognize you are not limited in your capacity to lead and guide, in believer or unbeliever. We see that throughout Scripture. And so we just plead for you, Spirit, to move and to work. And for us today, God, we just surrender to you. We gather to worship you. Be honored and glorified as we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you just bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, when we think great is your faithfulness, oh God, just in our hearts, we just want to say, wow, thank you. And as we gather here in this moment now to just look into your word, I pray you would just speak to and move in us and in our hearts, in my heart, and that this would just be honor and glorifying to you in every way. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Go ahead, kids. You can head down to Power Kids. It's been quite a week, let me tell you. As I've already mentioned in our time at the beginning where we just kind of walked through what's up today, it doesn't matter where you've been leading, it's been a unique week for you, such is the case here as well. And even as I was considering this week, I was looking at the series I was in the midst of, and you can see the title. It's titled Being Generous and Giving Grace. And then I looked at the scripture and I'm like, do I need to switch this right now? And then it became like perfectly clear. Like, this is perfect. Like, this is the perfect text and title for us to consider today. And even though it was through one lens, I think God has added another lens to this today. And I love how he does that as we gather and as we just process life together. Now, just being honest, like first and foremost, as I already said, I mean, I've never been a leader in the midst of a pandemic. I'm going to need y'all to be generous and giving of grace to me, right? And then likewise with one another, we've never necessarily lived through something like this. And so we got to be generous in giving grace to one another. Now, although this isn't my first, or although this is my first rodeo, it's not the first rodeo of the church. I mean, the global church that Jesus established. I want to give you two examples that I think give some real interesting perspective for us as we start. Right around the 200s, there was actually an outbreak in Rome, a massive pandemic that came over the population. And obviously, science, technology then isn't what it is today. And some estimate maybe 25% of the people in that era lost their lives. Massive reality. And in the midst of that massive reality, I want to read something from church history for you. This is what's written of the church in the midst of that reality in the early 200s. This is the early church. It says this. It comes from the writings of Eusebius. All day long, some of them, the Christians, tended to the dying and to their burial, countless numbers with no one to care for. Others gathered together from all parts of the city, a multitude which withered from famine, and they distributed bread to them all. Now, I'm not comparing COVID-19 to the 200s, but what I am saying this morning is that the light will shine the brightest in the darkness. I don't want us to miss that. The light will always shine brightest in the darkness. Interestingly enough, at the time of that pandemic in the 200s, the early church was horrifically persecuted in the midst of an incredibly dark season. shortly thereafter, and in that season, right around then, some things started to shift. Now, this is the really short Reader's Digest version. There's all sorts of layers, but some things started to shift. And part of that shift became the reality that Christianity became an acceptable, even a welcomed form of worship and practice in that day. And in the midst of that, 325 takes place. And in the year 325, it's called the Council of Nicaea, where the church now was safe to gather. And they really began to hammer through, like, what are our to die fors? What are we really going to believe and hold and be about? Which was super, super important. But what's often not talked about in that same 325 council is when in the first church or the first hospital started. Like, following pandemic, the church responds, it becomes more of an accepted and even a legalized gathering of faith. And from there, the church does even further and greater good. In the darkness, the light will always shine the brightest. And there's a call on us as followers of Jesus who have the light of the world in us to allow that to shine in whatever means possible. One more real quick example to help paint this picture. It was around the 1300s. The black or the bubonic plague ravaged the earth. Many of you have probably heard this, studied this in elementary school and what have you. And again, in the midst of that plague, it's the church that is responsive and caring for and tending for the needs of those who are ill and who are hurting and who are sick. And yet what's not often talked about is how the momentum that was gained in that season, there are people that think there's some link to the reality that shortly thereafter, the Reformation is what came. Interesting how when darkness comes in, the light shines the brightest, and there seems to be capacity for the church to really move and press forward. Now, am I saying that in the midst of coronavirus that there's going to be revival? No, I'm not saying that. Am I going to pray for that, though? Yes. Am I going to hope for that? Yes. What I am saying is that even now in the midst of the darkness, we need to allow the light of Jesus to shine the brightest. That doesn't mean we be foolish. That doesn't mean we don't use sound thinking or make unwise decisions. But that does still mean we allow Jesus to shine in and through us. And we're going to need to figure out some ways how to do that. We're, like I said already, we're already talking about that. And we're looking at ways. How do we care for those who are in this place of needing to self-quarantine and can't care for themselves? How do we care for those who are elderly or immune deficient or who just plain old scared? We got to be willing to consider that because the light will shine the darkness in the midst of, the light will shine the brightest in the midst of the darkness. Which brings us to Colossians 3. This is the passage I was going to use regardless, and it's like the perfect passage, not only for this, in my opinion, but also the sermon series we had started with. Now, let me just give you a quick recap so you know how we got here, and then let me speak into how I believe this applies to not only the series, but into life as a whole. So within the series, we talked about the gloves coming off within the family units, right? Because in the family units, we all have families that have differing opinion. We all have families that will have disagreements. We all have families that will have conflict. And today, I think it's fair to add families that will have crisis, right? Likewise, such it is with the church. I mean, the church in Scripture is called family. That's why we refer to each other in Scriptures and even in person today, brothers and sisters. That's why we're called the bride of Christ in Scripture. It's a form of family. So even in local church, there's going to be differing opinions. Even in the local church, there's going to be disagreements, conflict, and even the local church. We're going to have to navigate crisis, a la where we are at today. And so what we've wanted to establish is that in the midst of all these things, inclusive of crisis, the gloves need to come off. The reason being is because in any family, including church family, when you enter a conversation looking to win a fight, everybody loses. And so the heart in which we enter our conversations is so, so important. Now, we talked about how assuming the best was a part of that. Just assuming the best in one another. and in the decisions that are being made and the things that are happening. We talked about going to the source when there's something that's been wrong. And today we move to this. We need to be generous and giving in grace, because that is very at the core what it is to be like Christ. Generous in giving grace. Let me read the passage for you, and let's unpack it further. So this is Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read to start verses 12 to 15. And if you're visiting and you don't have a Bible, there are pew Bibles there. And that is page 989 if you want to follow along with me. 989 in those pew Bibles if you want. So here's what it says. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you were called to live in peace and always be thankful. It's funny how that, even in the church where you think we would get this stuff, we seem to find things to disagree on. For example, since God chose. Now, I considered speaking into this word because that's one of those words that in Christendom there's disagreement on. The idea of choosing and election and predestination and free will and what have you. And we seem to like pit each other against ourselves when it comes to words like that. But we need to be generous in giving grace. I'll give you one more example, and then I'll follow up on that thought. Take the season we're in right now. I just want to say, like, leaders and pastors and elders in churches all across Canada, and particularly right now, let's consider just our area, are having really tough conversations. Let's assume the best. Let's assume the best. The reality is just because we are gathering today doesn't make us unwise. At the same time, just because some are choosing to not gather doesn't make them afraid. I want to be really clear. Let's assume the best. There are churches facing different dynamics, and they have had to go to other forms of gathering, whether that be homes or digital, and that's okay. That's okay. Those leaders are making decisions as best they can in light of all the information that they have, doing their best. Let's be generous and giving grace and assume the best in the midst of that. Let's not assume that they're fearful because they're doing something different than us. And likewise, let's just hope that those who are looking at us, seeing us gathering, we're navigating different dynamics, different cultural realities, different numbers and sizes, doesn't make us unwise. Let's assume the best. Let's be generous in giving grace as we consider other fellowships and other churches and what they're doing right now. And so likewise, the word chose. It's one of those words that brings up the division, if you will, within the Christian body. And so I considered about even speaking in this because I have opinions on it. And then I decided, no, I'm not. It doesn't make my point. And quite frankly, it's not the point of the passage either. How do I know that? I've told you about the significance of three in Scripture and how in a Hebrew or a Jewish mindset, and in the Hebrew language specifically, when something's repeated three times, it brings incredible emphasis, the strongest of emphasis. That's why we say holy, holy, holy in reference to God. Now, I realize Colossians is written to a Gentile church predominantly, and it's written in the language of Greek, but the author was still deeply schooled in Hebrew thinking. And in that first word, or first verse, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, he continues to say, you must clothe yourselves. And that word clothe takes on incredible significance for us because it's repeated within this passage three times. I know that this is the point or the emphasis of the passage because of that repetition. And so I want to settle in there and unpack that a bit further. Now, in this instance, it says you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. But to see the picture, the painted picture of all three of these coming out, let me take you back to verse 5. And let's read from verse 5 on. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world, but now is the time to get rid. I want to pause there. This get rid is important, because it's actually the exact opposite of clothe. Another way you could translate clothe, and some of your translations do this, is the words put on. Clothe yourself or put on. Get rid is the exact opposite. It's take off, get rid. So he says, get rid of anger, rage, malice behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. And now here, verse 10 is the first time we find this phrase or this word clothe. Here it is, but it's in another way. It says put on. 10, here it is, put on. There's the first time it comes up. Put on your new nature. And be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. I love this. I love the language. And be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matter, and He lives in us all. Then into our main passage for today. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe. There's time to clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If you want to get to know, have your mind renewed, and get to know your Creator and become like Him, here's your answer. It's going to look like this. You're going to be more tender-hearted. You're going to be more merciful. You're going to be kinder. You're going to be more humble. You're going to be gentler. You're going to have a greater level of patience. You want to be like the Creator, the one true living God. This is what it means to be like Him. Put on these things. Be renewed. And then he continues, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. This takes us right back to last week and the power and the significance of forgiveness. And this is for many of us stating the obvious, but there truly is, once again, no better example than Jesus. Nothing has convinced me more of the need to forgive others like Christ has forgiven us than as I consider the cross. As Jesus would go through the horrible, physical, unjust experience of the torture, the beating, the crucifixion, the horror of that, He would then take on spiritually all my sin. He would take on spiritually all your sin, the sin of all the world. I mean, just think for a moment of that deep, dark secret or that hidden piece of your past that just gives you the greatest level of shame, embarrassment, disgust. And times that by this room, times that by the city, times that by the world. Side note, if you do have any secrets, those secrets are killing your soul. But that's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day. But nonetheless, Jesus bore it. He took it on. And then, in the midst of the horror of the physical act of crucifixion, of the weight and the crushing of my sin and your sin, for eternity past and eternity present, in that moment, He finds Himself in this place where His relationship with God the Father and God the Spirit is broken. There is no darker moment in all history than that moment when Jesus hung on the cross. And in the midst of that place, Jesus looks at those who just crucified Him and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This for me is the most powerful example and image of forgiveness and what it means to be generous and giving of grace. as a side note, and yet the main note all at the same time. If you've gathered with us today and this is new to you, or if you've come here this morning just searching in need of some type of hope, something that would just give you enough for today and tomorrow, this is it. God loves you. So much so that even when your sin had separated you from God, your sin had broken your relationship with God, God created and ensured there would be a way for that to be paid for so you could come back into relationship with Him. No matter what you face today, including coronavirus and beyond, Jesus wants to walk with you today. And this relationship with Him just simply starts by coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, will you forgive me? Or Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, will you forgive me? Jesus, my life is yours. And this starts this journey where God walks with you in the midst of whatever you're finding yourself in. There's hope in the reality that God is with you in the midst of what you face today. And so we likewise want to be a people of restored, renewed relationship who are generous in giving and grace. And this happens by verse 14, above all, clothe yourselves with love. There's the third one. Going back to verse 10, be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. You want to become like your Creator? Above all, clothe yourself in love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. And as I had prepped and prepared this message, my plan was to just add another piece or two there and finish just like that. But then as I was considering the week, the events of the world and what have you, and I was reading the text over and processing, I read 16 and 17 and it hit me like, no, this is perfect. This is absolutely perfect for today. And so I take us on two verses further. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom He gives. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. We'll do that again in just a moment. And then verse 17, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. I don't know if you're an underliner or a Bible writer, but I am. I underlined verse 17 and I put 03-2020. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. And in the midst of the things that our world faces today, we need a people that'll give grace generously, that'll shine the light of Jesus, because the light always shines brightest in the darkness. And so I had Candace helped me, and by Candace helping me, I mean do it for me. Make these bookmarks that are in your bulletin and in the front of your seat backs as well. And at first, the initial intent of this was to just speak into the gloves are off. It's just a rewriting of Colossians 3:12-15, but in taking out the use and what have you, we made this far personal applicable to us at Four Lines. And we wanted to say, look, in the midst of this season, in the midst of the gloves are off, like this is who we are, this is who we will be, this is how we will interact. But today, I think it means even so much more. In the midst of a family, a church family, and even a community where there's differing opinions, where there's disagreements, where there's conflict, and now it's only magnified by crisis. This is us. This is what it means to be the people of God. I'm going to read it to you. For since God chose us as the Fort Alliance family to be the holy people He loves, we must clothe ourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We will make allowance for each other's faults, including the moving of chairs in the foyer or in the sanctuary, and forgive anyone who offends us. We remember the Lord forgave us, so we must forgive others. Above all, we will clothe ourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And we'll let the peace that comes from Christ rule in our hearts, for as members of one body, we are called to live in peace. I want to ask you to take this bookmark. Just hold it right now. It's yours to keep. You can use it in your Bible, put it on your mirror, whatever you like. I want to invite you to stand. And we're going to close by simply speaking this out over each other. A means of making a commitment, but also just speaking it out. And so on this side, I'm going to invite you to turn and look at the opposite side. And on this side, likewise, I'm going to invite you to turn and look at this side. And I'm going to start us off. And let's just read this. Let's speak this out over one another as we wrap up. Since God chose us as the Alliance family to be the holy people he loves, we must clothe ourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We'll make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends us. We remember the Lord forgave us, so we must forgive others. Above all, we will clothe ourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and will let the peace that comes from Christ rule in our hearts, for as members of one body, we are called to live in peace. So in and out of every season, including this one, may we be a people who love Jesus. Wherever you find yourselves this week, I pray with all my heart that Spirit would empower you, renew your mind to be just like that. And as we close, if you've come this morning carrying a weight and you're just feeling like you just need to unpack that with someone, we want you to know that we're willing to do our best to love like Jesus with you in the midst of that. Whether that's myself or Pastor Ashley or one of our elders or their spouses, like we're here to pray with you. If you need to process anything at all this morning. So, Father, we just come before you. And in the midst of this season, where we are faced with new and different challenges, we will choose to praise you. Yet we will choose to think soundly and above all, act with love. Give us the capacity to do this as you do it, to be generous in it, in the giving of grace. And use us to shine a light in the midst of the darkness this very day, this very week, and this very season. I ask this in your name, Lord Jesus, on behalf of us all. Amen.